This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's run a little bit more of this.
With those 76 points in the paint for Denver, 50 of them in the first half, just how did you guys feel like? What aspects of the details there do you feel like needed to be cleaned up?
Oh, man, I think a lot of it was physicality. We started hitting guys. And, you know, it starts with, you know, guys on the ball and then in the back line, you know, letting Aaron Gordon, you know, get too deep. You know, once he gets 2 feet in the paint, there's nothing you can do about it. Or if Jokic gets two feet in the paint, there's nothing you can do about it. So just trying to be able to hit them before they're able to get that deep, you know, helps our defense tremendously. And, you know, if we could have kept them on pace for 50 points in the paint, like, we probably won this game by, you know, 10, 15 points. But we're really bad in the first half. We ended up fighting back and giving ourselves a chance to win, and we didn't execute down the stretch.
Malik, what was the mindset in the second half? You were down by, I think, 23 at a certain point, carried that momentum. Like, what was the mindset in the second half, and how did the game, like, kind of start to change for you guys?
We started doing those little things and hitting them guys first. Then we were missing a lot of shots in the first half, obviously. Then they started falling. Once we started hitting those guys, getting stops, we knew they didn't want to get back on defense, but we didn't get enough stops to get out in transition. I feel like that would have won us the game, too. So, yeah, we just started hitting them first and being way more alert on the defensive end, and that's why we got back in the game.
One thing I really appreciate about Malik is he always looks at the person asking the question. I know that's like a small thing, but like he does, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of value to that. All right, I just wanted to run a little bit more of that clip so you could hear how Malik's voice changed after that first question. It was like Malik got it, and maybe this lends more credence to what you just said a little when it started. You could visually see and audibly hear a frustration that you don't often hear from Malik in these podium situations, scrum situations, and then it was almost like he realized it, snapped out of it, and did the press conference as he normally does.
Yeah.
Again, I could be reading a lot into that, but that was that really stood out to me when I watched it this morning.
One of the reasons, like, I push back so much on, and this is what we do, this is what fans do or whatever, push back so much on the notion of going and getting, you know, new guys and adding to the depth or whatever is, you know, a little bit, it takes the onus off the guys who are there, the guys in that locker room who have to play better. They got to play better,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to get to a higher level, once again, yeah, maybe you need more, but to be better than one game over under 500, those guys are more than capable of that. Those guys that they have, they are more than capable of that. And they're more than capable. Like, it's not asking a lot to say, hey, don't be down 13 every game.
Yeah.
Like, you might just mess around and lose all this time. Like, we talk about Detroit, and I haven't, like, really focused on them, but we watch games and them. They're losing close. It's a game the whole time. We're asking for the little things. Don't be down 13. Don't put yourself in a 15-point deficit where you have to climb out of and all this other stuff.
Can we touch? I want to touch on something different. We can get back to the Kings when Jason Jones joins us. We'll talk a little bit about the Raiders last night and how the Raiders won big in their 15-9 loss. Michael Vick is, in fact, heading back to college. He is going to be Norfolk State's next head coach. Sometimes you got to read between the lines with D'Lo and KC. If you were watching the show, you might have seen Kenny and I make eye contact and just shake each other. We were told almost immediately after that Schefter tweet, this isn't happening. Dr. Wood absolutely spoke. There was absolutely conversations about Michael Vick becoming the next head coach of the Sac State Hornets. He was not offered the job. There was, I don't think the discussions even got even remotely that close. That tweet was, that Schefter tweet was from Mike Vick's agent. Why? Because he was talking to Norfolk State as well. So if you're having two simultaneous conversations, why not make sure everybody knows you're having two simultaneous conversations about becoming a head coach? So a lot of people had a lot of things to say about Sac State yesterday, from what I understand. But the fact is, they did talk to Michael Vick. They never offered Michael Vick the job. And from what Kenny and I were told immediately, like within minutes after that Schefter tweet, is Michael Vick was not going to be the head coach of the Sac State Hornets. He was not being offered that job. And today, and good for him, he's being announced as the head coach of Norfolk State. I know a lot of people, including our own Paul Marshall, including, you know, Katie on the wake-up call, have very strong opinions about Michael Vick. And Mike is one of those guys where I will never tell anyone how to feel about him. That is an incredibly sensitive subject. And anyone who, after 20 years, still feels a certain way about him, that's perfectly okay with me. Anyone who looks at the work that he's done the last 20 years and says, okay, he's shown you can, I guess the term is rehabilitate yourself, or you can be rehabilitated, I don't fault you either. He's always going to be a difficult name in the world of football because of some of that off the field stuff, or because of that off the field stuff. But it is official. He will not be the head coach of the Sac State Hornets, and he was never going to be. If you go check out Joe Davidson, you see Joe Davidson, and I forgot the brother's name already.
Brennan Marion.
Thank you. UNLV.
Yeah, UNLV's offensive coordinator.
It looks like he might have the inside track on being the next head coach for the Sac State Hornets.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I've tweeted it out. I've said it a number of different times. If Michael Vick were to come to Sac State, I think that would be a good hire, a good shot in the dark for Sac State football to take a chance on getting some publicity. And then maybe, what if he's even a good coach? You know what I mean? I was in favor of the potential of Mike Vick coming here. Like you mentioned, though, we got a little word that that's not really going to happen. So you don't put too much into it, but I'm good for him to get that opportunity at Norfolk
State. And by the way, I don't think it had anything to do with his past. I don't think he was the hire. Yeah, I don't think he was the guy they were going to hire.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, they got backlash, or oh, boosted. That had nothing to do with nothing.
No.
It's just when you talk about Mike Vick, this 20 years later is still a part of the conversation.
And it's going to follow him, like you said, for some people, it's going to follow him for the rest of his life, and there's nothing that he can do about that.
That's right.
You know, that's part of.
And that's okay. In my opinion, with this subject, that's okay.
Yeah, and that's part of, I guess you could say, the repercussions of your actions. Like, you're still going to be judged by that by some people. I do think, not what happened and why he went to jail, but I do think it's a little more, the aftermath is a little more nuanced than people give it credit for.
I think the situation is a little more nuanced than people have taken the time to understand.
Well, I think so too.
Yeah.
I will say it. And tell me if I'm unclear, because people say that Vic killed these dogs. Is that, I thought he ran the organization. That was my understanding of it.
My understanding, and having not
ran and funded the
Yeah, not having paid attention to this in probably 20 years, there was one very specific report that I remember reading where it was, it didn't write it as he didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. He did, but he wasn't a part of what was going on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But he was aware enough that obviously the court of law.
And he was
20 years ago, and like it's fuzzy, but that did always stand out to me. Like, I don't think Vic is as involved in this as people think they are. But again, it's something you can't
do. It was illegal.
And that's why I he had the real life Olivia Pope when he got out of, some of you might not get that reference, but the TV show Scandal. Mm-hmm. There's a real life Olivia Pope. I think she worked for George W. Bush, if I remember correctly. She navigated that man, one, to another NFL contract, which we've since learned that doesn't really mean anything. As long as you can play football, you can get an NFL contract, as long as you stand for the national anthem, of course. But he immediately was involved in different organizations. Like, when you talk about true crisis management, she navigated him as good as I've ever seen an athlete or celebrity fall because of a scandal navigate. Mm-hmm. I think to this day, I've never seen anyone navigate someone better than that woman did Michael Vick.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just some people will never get over it.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier, I'm not going to tell somebody how to feel about that. You know what I mean? How you feel about what he did, and to a certain degree, even him, is how you feel. You know, I was having conversations earlier. I don't think some of it is right. I don't think some of it is fair. But, you know, people are going to feel how they feel for the rest of eternity about Michael Vick. So, it is what it is. But he's not going to be at Sac State. So,
yeah.
The people here in Sacramento or people who support Sac State who are conflicted about that, that's not something they have to worry about anymore. It'll be at Norfolk State.
And also, don't get it twisted. Everything that Schefter tweeted yesterday about Sac State is 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was NIL commitments, I saw a lot of that stuff in question. Whether it was new stadiums, I saw a lot of that stuff in question. Don't dip your toe into the waters of Sacramento without knowing what you're talking about first.
Doug Gobley, stupid ass.
Oh, I will never in my life care what Doug Gobley thinks.
It's just dumb. And the further breakdown, for those that don't understand, $50+ million in NIL money is committed to Sac State athletics. I don't know if it's specifically football or athletics, because I think it's contingent, number one, if they move to the Pac-12. And it's also over the course of, I think, 10 years, right? So it's not $50 million a year. They've been able to secure $50+ million in NIL money over the course of 10 years. So maybe people didn't really take time, or it's Twitter, so they don't want to take time to figure out exactly what's going on before they get the tweet off. But yeah, like you said, whatever Schefter said is accurate. It's 100% accurate.
All right. We also heard from Dr. Luke Wood yesterday that there should be some exciting announcements ahead regarding Sac State and their football coach. Maybe one of them. And if that's the case, as has been the tradition, he'll join us.
Pull up, man. Pull up.
I did for about 30 seconds. I did for about 30 seconds think, yo, Mike Vick gonna come on D-Lo KC, huh? Okay.
Yeah, man. The door is always open for Sac State football coaches.
I'm very curious what Mike is getting at Norfolk State and what the offer might have been had it gotten that far from Sac State. Because we know what some former coaches made. I'm dying to know what the next head football coach is going to make. Dying to know.
Yeah, man.
Especially right now with the plans that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our boys over there can't miss.
What they can't miss. And what I want from this coach, what I'm looking for, what I think is most important from this coach, is he needs to find a way to be able to recruit his ass off.
Yeah.
Because I want Sac State to win games as much as anybody. I want them – I told Damien this earlier. I'll say it on wax. I want them to win. But
it's a hell of a take.
But if they're 10-1 and win the Big Sky, all right, whatever. Like, what they're trying to do is bigger than the Big Sky.
That's right. Yep.
So if they can find a way to bring a guy in that can recruit, help bring excitement to the program, and be along to elevate them to FBS, that's the most important thing. That's it.
Jordan Meeks brings up a good point. If Mike Vick had been here, Casey would have snubbed him anyway,
that's
so
not
it doesn't
true.
Matter. That's a great point. That's
not
a great
true.
Point. Casey, not a big fan of NFL Hall of Famers. We'll come back. Jason Jones of The Athletic, The New York Times, The Professor, joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Head over to ESPN1320.com to enter to win a pair of tickets to see the Sacramento Kings take on Miami January 6th at the Golden One Center. Again, all you got to do, go to ESPN1320.com. Head over to the contest page if it's not right there on the front page and enter to win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings take on Miami.
I believe it's actually a 4-pack. It's a typo on there. We went to the contest tab today and looked at our rules. Yeah, it's a 4-pack.
Oh, God. Oh, Jim Rome here.
I checked it out. Checked out the email too.
It's good.
Remember?
It's fine.
Did you listen to Jim Rome?
Not really.
I listened. I listened to Rome first. He was. Like,
I've heard Jim Rome.
When he was, I don't know if it was just getting started or not, but he was nights. And that's what I would, like, go to sleep to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd have the, I'm at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, got the radio next to me, and Jim Rome was the night guy. And then, obviously, he got really famous and was the morning guy. But that was his little thing. Like, they had the fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call, and he'd be like, Jim, in the OC. Says Jeff George, why don't you just be the starter for my mom's team?
One, the impression was terrible.
I can't do a good Rome. I can't do a good Rome. I ain't gonna front.
But I do know the crumpled up paper is a staple of Jim Rome. I guess I'm different, like, because you, Deuce, you guys all, like, I didn't go to sleep listening to sports talk.
Yeah.
I did go to sleep at times listening to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I almost always went to sleep listening to music, but I didn't really listen to sports talk growing up. At least not like that.
Sports talk is, don't tell anyone, but it's kind of boring sometimes.
Unless yeah, D-Lo and KC didn't exist back then.
Yeah. Well, like, we were just chaos and stuff. I'm not even talking about this show. Like, Bonte and Shasky show's fun and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like sports talk is just so cut and dry. It's like old textbook. Take your break at this time.
And
do this.
You need, I believe, you need genuine personalities to keep people, you know, coming back and listening to you and even watching sports talk on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, what we see, the you know, bare basics of it, like Josh Allen threw a pass, it was caught, it's a touchdown. It's not rocket science. Like, we can have all these things to kind of tell you why or whatever, but it's not rocket science. The Kings, the
lost.
Other team made more shots than them last night. They lost. Like, we can dissect it however we want, but guys, like, I think, you know, in his heyday, and maybe people are annoyed with him now, but like a Stephen A. or, you know, Devontae and Butch and what we do here like this, you know, is more than just talking about sports. You know, you bring a level of personality.
You hear about killing squirrels. That's really what does it for us.
Yeah.
Squirrel deaths.
Well, and then here's the other thing about that, though. You guys keep saying I killed the squirrel. I did not kill the squirrel. He was alive.
You incapacitated the squirrel.
He might have got out. You see them get out of bags.
His legs did not work. His back was broken.
I didn't
spinal.
Do that. I didn't do that. I didn't do any of that.
You seem to know that the squirrel was poisoned.
I don't know that. I said it's either that or his back was broken. I don't know which one, or hind legs or something. I don't know.
Shout out Collins for this chatty house message. Yeah, doing people impressions, murdering animals. Pause moments, got to mix it up and make it fun. Yeah, it's dealing with KC. With a little bit of King sprinkled in.
Jesse saying sports talk is kind of boring is just awesome. Can that be the title of today's show?
Yeah, I'm down.
Sports talk radio is kind of boring.
Oh, man. Drew down in the chat. I didn't kill him. I set a rat trap and then threw him out in the trash. LOL.
Oh, you're really in on the Rome thing now. This is great. That's great.
But I did not kill that squirrel. I wouldn't. Like I said, if I would have caught him and then took a shovel to his head, that'd be different. I didn't.
I got in the plunge today.
Ooh.
It's cold. That was tough. But it looks out, and I just saw squirrels running around, living their best life. And I was just so happy that they were here with me and not with my partner. Because
we do get too many animal stories coming out of your compound.
We got two.
The birds, and
it resulted in mass death.
We know your pest control guy's name, which feels like
shout
something.
Out to my guy,
well,
Nick.
In Kenny's defense, we know Trista's too.
Well,
yeah.
And that's a different connection than me and Nick.
Oh man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to, you know, all the wildlife out there. Big ups.
Yeah, just don't come to Kenny's house because you're gonna die.
Stay out of Elk Grove.
You will die.
Like, you're not supposed to
stay over here in Rockland.
You're not supposed to be
boys.
In the house. Yeah, what, if they would have came in the house, what would you done?
I would have helped it find its way out.
What if he ain't leaving?
Well, I guess we're roommates, pal.
If it's a rat, you gotta get rid of it.
Get him out of the house.
If it's a squirrel,
it's necessary.
What is that? What do you want me to do? Blow up my house?
No, set the trap, and if he gets in the trap, he's in the trap. He can't
set
be in the
a
house.
Rat trap for a squirrel.
Well, I'm talking about any of the rodents.
Okay, let's Jesus Christ. What's up, Jay?
Yo, what's
going on?
Yo, hold on, chill with that hat, bro. Chill.
That's a new one.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think this is the first time Jason's worn that hat.
Did you subscribe to Sports Illustrated and get a hat and a DVD? Is that what happened there?
Man, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't understand what the issue is, man. It's just a hat.
Come
just
on,
a hat.
Get that out of here, bro. Get that out of here.
I mean, I'm surprised you're not wearing your Rams hat this week.
No, I don't have one. I'm not a Rams fan.
You not? You sure?
Positive.
Mm-hmm.
You wearing a Giants hat, a New York Giants hat?
Why would I wear that?
You want them to win.
I really do.
You got a couple teams to root for, and none of them are the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, because part of me would just like to see AP get a win or two just because, God, this is terrible to watch them keep losing. But the Giants are a much better team. I mean, Giants aren't even trying.
Mm.
21 to 25, come on.
That's awful.
That's
crazy.
I loved it because I won my fantasy playoff game because I had Lamar Jackson, but I was like, you guys, that man had more TDs than incompletions. Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves, but they're not.
Man, did you see the juggernaut matchup that's coming up this weekend? First of all, were you one of the 7 or 8 people who watched the game last night?
Which one?
The Falcons Raiders.
I watched a little part of it, then I had something else to do. I mean, it was not on my list.
Even Raider fans were like, nah.
Well, me and Jesse talked about Dolphins 49ers.
It was hard. It was hard to watch. It was very hard to try to watch. I was like, all I kept saying is, and Kirk Cousins is like, why is that? I'm like, why is this game even close?
Mm.
Like, the Raiders, like, every Raider who was supposed to be good isn't playing. I was more amazed that Kirk Cousins somehow could barely crack, like, what, 100-something passing yards. I would love to say that was great Raider deep. I just think Kirk Cousins is terrible right now.
Well, could be the truth.
I'm watching the telecast, and they're giving him props on. Look how he's reading his progressions. I'm like, dude's like 38 years old. What do you mean he's reading his progressions? He's supposed to.
He went like a half without throwing an interception, and they were like, I think he snapped out of it. And then he threw an interception.
What happens?
By the way, it's the Raiders and Jaguars this week.
I'm just about to ask, what happens?
I'm actually going to that game.
Oh.
I'm going as a fan because I have never been to the stadium before, and that ticket was cheap.
You need to vlog that. I need to go on your Instagram stories and just see everything that happens.
Anyone in Vegas when I'm flying in Sunday morning, tell me where to get some good I'm sure the tailgate got to be the best part of the day because that's a good game to drink. Because I don't know if watching that on the field is going to be good for anyone.
That game is crazy.
That's the kind of game wild. The Raiders will mess up and win just because they're going against Mac Jones. And last time Mac Jones was in Vegas, he got stepped on by Chandler Jones. New England had that, we're going to start lateraling for no reason situation.
That was crazy. You can get into the building on Sunday for as low as $61. $61. And, of course, your tickets will be up high, but I'm sure you can move.
I got into the lower level for way below market value.
Mm.
I'm like near the Al Davis Flame for like way – like what I pay for this ticket, the ticket was like triples. When they were playing the Chiefs,
I'm looking at the Giants right here. Like it's going to be tough to fend off the Giants from the number one pick.
Oh, they're on a mission.
They've got Atlanta, Indianapolis, and Philadelphia, but they've scored 14, 11, a whopping 20 against the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
7, 17, 22, 18, 3, 7. Those are their point totals dating back to Week 6.
I mean, this is a tough battle for number one. I mean, no doubt about it.
Better than the battle for the number one seed.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Raiders' upcoming schedule. You got a Jacksonville team that has no interest in winning.
Mm-hmm.
But on the bright side, you do have that last game against the Chargers, and they may need to win to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whereas, you know, maybe Philly's resting all their people. You know, and then you get a lose off where like, what can I do to lose this game more than the other team? Well, you know, maybe Indy's out of it and they don't care. You know, then you got the Anthony Richardson. Maybe he'll just throw to the wrong team effect.
Mm.
I mean, this is gonna. I don't. You know, well, the one thing I think the Raiders have in their favor, they don't have a Malik Nabers who might decide just to go off on a game.
Mm.
You know, I mean, who are they going through? I mean, they got Bowers, but they also have no one to throw the ball. Well, I guess the Giants don't really have a quarterback either. Man, this is just sad.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams with 2 or 3 wins right now.
Oh,
that's a lot of teams.
Ooh.
Is that normal? Like, do we normally have that many bad teams bunched together?
This feels like way worse than usual.
That's a lot of teams. 7 teams is a lot. One
and then
game
you got
away from
teams
that.
With like 4 wins. Like you got teams like 4 and 5. Like you got teams like Cincinnati, who you wouldn't have thought would be there. And yeah, this is bad.
Now, Jacksonville can get themselves away with a win here on Sunday.
Well, let's get that.
Yeah.
Last year, Washington, Arizona, New England had 4 wins. Carolina had 2. That's how much worse this year is than last year. You go the year prior, you had the Texans had 3 wins, the Colts had 4, Chicago had 3, Arizona had 4.
Mm.
Someone, at least one team, potentially 2, are finishing this year with 2 wins. That's insane.
I guess the flip side of it all, RIP flip side, is there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that already have double-digit wins, and 1, 2, 3, 4 teams with 9 wins. So you're like by the end of the week, we could be looking at 12 or 11 teams with double digit wins.
Mm.
Those teams are beating somebody, and you know, I'm pretty sure most of those teams have played the Raiders or the Giants at least once.
Mm.
Raiders with the league best right now, 10 game losing streak.
That's incredible.
Giants on their heels though, 9 game losing streak.
It's a battle. It's a battle. But shout out to Andy Reid getting his quarterback hurt unnecessarily.
Well, they said he practiced today. He was a full-on participant today.
Whatever. They don't actually let you see all that. Ooh, what the hell? like I took him to tell the truth. My ankle sprain, practice fully, whatever. I don't believe that for a second. And on top of that, my question is, you're up by two scores in Cleveland with 7 minutes to go. Why are you going for it on fourth down against Miss Winston?
They're trying to get to 30 points. They're the only team outside of the bottom five who haven't gotten to 30 points this year.
And, yeah, and with that offensive line, and if Mahomes is, you know, got a bad ankle through the, you know, they won't be getting there anytime. What if they start Carson Wentz and they score like 40?
Mm. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Carson throws for like 400 yards. He's like, I don't know what you mean. These tackles are fine.
Quarterback what controversy in off? Kansas City. Next on Get Up.
I mean, the media is so desperate for news. I mean, I think I've seen the headline three times about what Jerry Jones ate as a kid. You're surprised a man from Arkansas ate raccoons?
Well, that's more headlines than him keeping black people out of his school. God, that was a headline for a day. And Jerry was like, yeah, that's me. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's the end of the story.
They're like, you ate squirrel? Wow. Let's break this down.
Got to keep Jerry in the news, man. Got to keep Jerry in the news. Did you see any of the Kings Nuggets last night? Another close game. Kings lose by one.
No, I didn't. I ended up watching. I decided to watch Monday Night Raw.
Well, you but went to bed a lot more comfortable than Kings fans went.
Yeah. I say if you're going to give up 130, yeah, you look at the way the West is, the top four or five-ish teams all actually try to play defense, and then you got a bunch of other teams that are just bunched together who any given night can give up 130. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. I mean, I did look at the box, look at their numbers. I'm like, you score this many points and you shoot like that. It's not, you shouldn't. Yeah. That's just,
it just dawned on me because I didn't watch them. Normally I do, but I was busy watching Mike Brown and the rest of the guys. I bet Michael Malone was pissed.
Oh, definitely.
They gave up 129 points. I bet he threw something in the press conference. What's that?
Oh, I know. He wants to fight someone. Right. And they had a big lead, too. And it's like the game ends up getting.
He was cussing during the game. He was furious when they blew that lead.
A few clipboards paid the price in that locker room. Yeah.
Do you, how do you feel about these Kings? Like, do you think that the current roster that they have is playing about what they should be playing, or are they kind of underachieving for who they have on their roster?
I think they should be better, but when you're not a consistent the way they've shot the three most of the year, and when you're not a consistent defensive team, you kind of get, you know, where they are. You know, you got a bunch of teams kind of in that same boat. You know, I think at some point they'll catch fire and they'll have a good winning streak, and they'll have one of those 10 to 12 stretches or something like that. It'll probably start when they play the Lakers too, but I think they'll have a stretch like that. But the kind of way it's kind of been their MO the last couple of years, the way they play, they can beat anybody, but they can also lose to anybody because, you know, especially because they don't play well enough at home.
Mm-hmm. Don't try that reverse jinx stuff over here either. We know what you're doing. Talking about, it'll probably be against the Lakers.
Yeah, because that's like the Super Bowl. Like, they'll get hyped up for that game, and then lose to, like, the freaking, I don't know, they'll lose to the Hornets at home again.
Well, you did have them beating Houston, so I'll give you that. Yeah, like, yeah, they'll probably win this week, and sure enough, they went out there and beat Houston.
The way this team is to me, it's like, if I would have picked, like, that couple of weeks ago, I would have said they lose at Minnesota, beat Portland. It was the other way around. So whatever you think might happen, probably won't. The Lakers are the same way. I'd be like, hey, they should win this game. No, they'll lose by three. They had that stretch where they couldn't get within 30 points of a team for like a week. Like, they'd either win or lose by 40. So you never know. I just think, you know, when you don't play good defense consistently, this is what you get. And that could be the difference between them. And even with that said, you look at what, like 5 through 12 with like a game or two apart.
Yeah.
Just whoever decides to play defense from like team 5 down, And I think Minnesota's gotten back to their kind of defensive identity a little bit. So if whoever decides those last five, six teams, they want to play defense, you know, they can maybe get a home game.
Jason, you've
home court in theory, should I say.
You know, we're on the beat, you know, in both football and basketball and everything. How often do the players take the losses as hard as the fans do? And I ask that because it seemed like for most of this year, it's just kind of been like, ah, oh, it's early. We got to work on some stuff. And last night, it felt like that one stung a little bit from the players. I don't know if it did or not, but how often does that happen in these professional settings?
Not as often as I think as fans would like to believe it does. You know, I think if you're a fan, you would love to believe that guys sit around crushed. They go home and they can't sleep. They're devastated. That doesn't happen as much as people would like to believe. I think when you play 82 games, you kind of figure, you know, it's just a different approach. I think football is different. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have one game every week, so it does hurt more unless you're on a bad team and you realize you don't have a chance. I covered the bad teams in football, so. I think basketball is a little different. You know, I think later in the year the losses hurt more when you kind of figure we had a chance to do this, but we lost here, and then you start doing the whole thing. Well, maybe if we could have cared in December, maybe that would have changed something. Mm-hmm. But I think it's almost unhealthy to take every loss too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then you get yourself in a funk. And I know, like I said, I've heard fans for years say, well, you know, why is he so happy? It's like, well, because just the same way you go to work and have a bad day, you go home and see your kids and you feel better. They're the same way, you know, I don't think you want, say, De'Aaron sitting at his locker sulking for 3 hours after last night. Hmm. Now you got to shake all that off. And then like, there's another game coming up. You know, you don't want to go through that either. So
what's the best team you covered in either sport?
Damn.
Jay, like, they all suck. I don't know if I had a good one.
I really didn't, but I'm going to say probably the George Carl King season was probably, in terms of record, the best team I covered, in terms of record.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I almost cussed, but I had some really – bad team. I almost said another word for bad, but yeah, I mean, in terms of like a full season, yeah, that was it. And then in the NFL, it was because of the NBA lockout. They put me back on the Raiders for part of the year, and I had the year where Jason Campbell was the quarterback for the Raiders, and they were like looking like a good team, and then Campbell got hurt, and then it went down the toilet. They traded, you know, they traded for but Carson Palmer on my birthday, just ruined my birthday. And I had a day off. I got to sit there and see angry Carson Palmer. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, so that was probably the closest I had to a good football team. I mean, the Raider teams I covered were just – I mean, I had the 2-14 Art Shell year. I had the Lane Kiffin year.
That's your dad, Art Shell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you there – you weren't there for the Al Davis overhead projector, were you?
Actually, I wasn't there in person. I watched. My son was born like the day before, the day after, right around that time, like 2 days earlier. So I watched it on TV. But I was covering the team then. But I was there the day when they announced Lane Kiffin. And Al called him Lance.
Oh.
And somebody asked him about Bobby Petrino, and he called Bobby Bernard. I did have some great Al Davis moments.
Bernard Pritchard.
Yeah, I had some great. One day, I wore a Bobby Lashley shirt to practice, and it said "Dominate" because I like that shirt. We need to dominate too.
Mm-hmm.
Al was just Al was cool. I mean, there was a road trip in Minnesota. We all authorized to go out to eat. Whatever Raiders. Al comes to the restaurant. Buy those guys and rounded drinks on me. I was like, cool, I'm gonna give me that top shelf hen, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the old man's fine, let me get some top shelf Hennessy. You know,
anything, yeah, so, you know, want, Jason.
Yeah. A very predictable thing I would do if Al Davis is buying drinks. I would be like, yeah, give me that. Yeah.
Give me the top shelf Hennessy. Jason Jones setting stereotypes back 20 years with his drink orders.
I just can't help it.
Al Davis walked away. I knew it.
Let me guess. He won a bet. This one.
Al Davis won a bet. I bet you he's going to say Hennessy. Bet you two racks.
We were at a steakhouse, but you know, knowing me, I probably still ordered chicken. Who knows?
Another stereotype. God damn it, Jason.
I probably just set everyone back. They're probably just like, you know, yeah.
Al Davis just racking up the cash on these Jason Jones bets.
He's like, who ordered? Yeah. I actually made Al Davis mad one time. That was pretty fun.
You're that Jason Jones.
You're really trying to get us to acknowledge this impression, aren't you?
Well, I've done the Al Davis impression before. This ain't new.
Have you? Yeah. I don't remember the Al Davis impression.
No. You're that Jason Jones, aren't you?
No, it wasn't that. He sent somebody else after me.
Yeah, sent Amy Trask after you, Jason.
No, it wasn't Amy. It was somebody else. He had pulled me aside because I got pulled aside a couple of times for stuff I wrote that people, that's what made it funny. I'd write some stuff in the fans and be like, you hate the Raiders. I actually don't hate the Raiders. I really feel bad for them. I don't hate them. You know, but yeah, I think probably the one time, actually I got pulled aside by one time during the whole contract negotiation with Jamarcus. And they were going back and forth and I got pulled aside because I had gotten stuff from the other side that they didn't like. And, you know, and some people that they knew and they were like, well, just know this. Al Davis says is true. I was like, okay, no, I can't do that. but then that was funny because then one of their people upstairs told me, he said, you know what, you're going to be okay because if we find someone we can tell anything and they'll believe, we like those type of reporters. They just write whatever we could tell them that, you know, hey, we may be 2-14, but we're real close. No, right. They're close. Like, no, you're not. Terrible.
And for clarification purposes, this was Jamarcus Russell's rookie deal, correct?
Yeah, the rookie deal. He didn't get another one. I mean, this is before you had the rookie pay scale and all that, and they were negotiating, and there was a debate over whether the Raiders had the actual cash, like the liquid cash to pay a bonus. Versus, you know, and all of the other stuff. And yeah, it was, yeah, I think fans nowadays don't remember the days of the rookie holdout. Like the rookie holdout used to be a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, okay, you're slotted to get this.
Yeah, and whenever it's not signed right away, the term you hear is offset language. What's the offset language in it?
Is it protected for injury, you know, and. You know, protected for skill and injury, you know, which people don't really, when they say protected for skill and injury, basically means that whether or not if you suck as a player or you get hurt, you still get your money.
No, that's not in Devondre Campbell's contract.
Well,
man, leave that. Yeah, that man made a choice. That man said, y'all want to let Dre Greenlaw play off with one foot? Y'all let him play. I'm out.
And he was 10 times better on one foot than we saw from Devondre Campbell all year.
Hey, I'm not that. I mean, hey, that I don't care. All I know is I saw this thing on Instagram that said Debo has as many touchdown catches as Dan Skipper.
Does he play for the Raiders?
No, Dan Skipper is a tackle for the Detroit Lions.
Oh, the touchdowns. My bad. ain't nobody with no touchdown sets with the Raiders, man. My bad.
Wow.
Oh, he's hurt.
Nobody with no touchdowns for the Raiders.
I'm pretty sure Brock Bowers with no quarterback has more TDs than Debo this year.
He's not handling this.
Running his mouth and out there dropping pass. What's up with your man?
He was out of pocket, man. He was out of pocket.
I mean, he ran his mouth, wore his little red parka, you know, capri, whatever.
Leave his wardrobe out of this. My goodness. But he was out of pocket.
T.O. said it. T.O. was like, the man's focused on the walkthrough more than the game. He's like, shut up, T.O., basically. And then he go out there and dropping passes. And I got him on a fantasy team, so I know he's been terrible.
He's been done.
Exactly. He is lashing out. We mentioned Debo all of a sudden because he played. You got to get Raider attacks.
What? What? I didn't. I thought it might have been a Raiders player, and then I remembered it was a touchdown stat, and I said, well, clearly it's not a Raiders player.
Based on what I saw last week, at least the Raiders scored a touchdown in their game. All that money on offense and 2 field goals?
Well, this has been fun.
I was just chilling.
He's been like this all week. He wasn't chilling
as soon as he came on the screen with that damn hat.
He wears a hat every time he's with us.
He needs to stop wearing that hat.
Shouldn't you be happy with your new shortstop?
Yeah, you know, I'm good looking. We're going to get Corbin Burns as well.
You pay a lot of money and they do nothing. I mean, will you bet the rest of them?
What's that? I didn't even take any shots at anything with the Dodgers. I just said I didn't like the hat. That's all I said.
I didn't take shots at anything. I just don't
taking
like
shots at my new shortstop.
I'm just asking a question because every year y'all get excited about some free agent who does nothing.
No, nobody Farhan signed got anybody hyped up. Not one person. Mole.
You gotta get that hate out your heart, man.
He's a mole. He was a mole.
All I know, what is the Niners record since your boy wore that hat on TV?
It's pretty bad.
I think we got one more win than when Max Crosby took that photo shoot with him.
Yeah, probably. All I know was that Nick Bosa's last win was November 6th.
Max Crosby was at
one. Damn.
Max Crosby was at 1 hour photo with the man.
Anybody who posed with that dude before during the season, they
well,
the season.
Max Crosby wasn't alone.
Well, hell, I guess Aaron Judge was there too. Did you hear
that
story?
What did I say at the beginning of the year? I said I thought oh yeah, when Max tweeted that picture about he's the GOAT, I said we're winning 3 games this year.
Well, you're gonna hit that
I called and I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. Then once your boy put that, y'all was gonna win the division until he put that hat on.
He needs to be gone.
Yeah, he got his victory. He don't care if he won another game this year. His victory came in November.
No, he might not.
He's trying to be free for January, and he will be. Jay. He won't be doing anything late January.
Jay, I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate him, too. I just don't appreciate that hat.
Well, I appreciate Jay's sense of style. Like, he always comes in with the bras on and the... And representing the fraternity,
that.
And then
wrong with that.
Represent his boys. That's, what
that's where we have a problem.
We need to get a chance about no Mike Vick stuff, man. So it's all good.
Well, Mike Vick headed to Norfolk State. Mike Vick headed to Norfolk State. It was fun for about 10 seconds when we thought he was going to be at Sac State, and then we were told pretty quickly.
After putting it out there, I'm like, I said, Sac State got 50. What the hell? Been joking to everyone about. They do not have $50 million. I was like, what the hell?
$50 million in commitment. They have $50 million in commitment.
I was like, over 10 years.
What the hell is he talking? Yeah. I love when national guys weigh in with no context or clue.
No.
And then they never come back and correct what they say. They just leave it out there. They're like, who cares if I was wrong?
It's Sacramento.
He's like, no one will care what I said about Sacramento on a day.
Jay, we appreciate you, man. Thank you as always.
Yeah, take care, y'all.
Jason Jones, the professor right there. Merry Christmas, Jason. And Happy New Year. Happy holidays. And we won't see Jay for a couple weeks.
I'm getting tired of these shows. We get down here to about 3:50-something. They're like, all right, what did we learn today? Do we feel better? Like, can we just be happy?
What?
Every time the Kings have a crushing loss, we rip them for 3.5 hours. And then at the end of the day, we say, all right, do we feel better? They, you know, they're still got goals ahead of them. Like, no, man. Like, how about just start winning some games in a row?
In order to achieve the goals you set out forward, they're going to have to start Thursday, and they can't slip up.
Nope.
They can't slip up. Two with the Lakers, Pacers on the second night of a back-to-back, and then the scariest game of them all, Detroit today after Christmas. We could talk about what Malik looks like. Well, we can do all this tomorrow. Jesse's telling us to shut the hell up and go.
Wrap it up.
We appreciate y'all for being with us. Hit the thumbs up before you go. If you want to join us on 102.5, go do that. We're headed over there now. If not, we'll see you at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. NBA Cup finale coming up next.
Vamos, Michigan. Go Blue.